Welcome to episode 62 of the Strong Style Story Podcast here at the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. I am your host, Selector Jeffrey Wessel. You can find me at Strong Style Story without the E in style on Twitter. The blog is at strongstylestory.tumblr.com. With me today, we have another special guest in addition to, you know, my co, etc., Chris Damasceno. We have from Tornado Tag Radio, please welcome the guy who subbed in for me for the G1 Climax show last year when I couldn't make it, John Pingle. John, how are you, man?
Hello, I'm doing quite well. It's good to be back previewing another slew of New Japan events. I'm coming off the high of GCW's show from last night that I was at live, and I'm ready to talk more wrestling.
All right, Chris, how you doing, man?
Yeah, doing good. We're through the initial portion of the year with Fantastica Mania being on the books, and we're on to some really kind of historic new beginning shows with the tours being split both into the USA side of the fence and the regular Japan side of the fence before we hit the shows in Sapporo and Osaka, respectively. So
yeah,
let's get to it.
Yeah, let's talk some Fantastica Mania real quick. I saw most of what could be seen. I mean, obviously, there were three shows that didn't make tape. Chris,
yeah.
Did you get to see...
Got to see a little bit of it as well, for sure. Watched the entirety of the first show that they ran, which super fun. Again, seeing things like Desperado going back to his Mascarado roots as Namahagwe, for example, throughout the entirety of this tour were highlights in and of itself, because you know it's him. And the antics are similar, but there's just a flair to what he's doing under the... that particular persona, which is super cool.
Highway, yeah. Going back to more of a traditional CML Rudo. The whole thing with Shigeo Okamura's 25th anniversary. Okay.
all right. I mean, he's a good ambassador between the Japanese and Mexican side, so I can understand acknowledging that when you have the opportunity, but... from the years of seeing him wrestle, we know he's limited to what he can do, especially after coming back from, what was it, a broken neck just last year?
Yeah.
So it's very much, he's a very good liaison for the company, but we also know he's fairly limited in the ring at this point, kind of like a Tamaki Honma in that aspect. But alongside that, there were some other things in which, you know, CMLL had their... second edition, I believe, of their family tag tournament this year around too, which ended up winning.
Yeah, this was the second edition of that tournament, because they ran a brothers tournament like 2 years ago, and then last year they did a family tag tournament. They did it this time. Let's talk about that real quick. The whole series that went throughout the whole tour between Los Hermanos Chavez and Titan against the Dinamitas. I mean, that ran through the entire tour. Like that was like the thread of the whole tour. Yeah. And it produced a lot of good matches. It really did.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was some really fun stuff. And I think for a lot of people, especially those who use the Fantastic Mania shows, not so much as a show to watch per se, but where they're seeing the GIFs pop up on Twitter. If there's one thing that became really familiar with everybody involved, it had to be Dolce Gardenia.
Dolce Gardenia got over as fuck.
And just for those who aren't familiar with him, he is an exotic wrestler, and throughout the entirety of this tour, he basically made a hit list of sorts where he was trying to pretty much kiss every single member of Los Ingobernables de Japón, and it was as hilarious as it sounds in terms of just how they interacted with him in the process.
Oh yeah.
Poor Bushi, unfortunately, getting the worst of it.
Yeah, he also got Liger.
Liger as well. he did get Liger as well. Shingo Takagi losing his shit every time was probably the highlight for me personally throughout this entire tour.
Yeah, and then Shingo accusing this of being a plot by Hirooki Goto.
Which, if you've seen enough YTR or VTRs in your lifetime, this doesn't sound as far-fetched as you think it does.
But, there's one thing I could criticize about the Fantastico Mania Tour is that it fell into the whole thing that happens all the time in CMLL where mask versus hair or, you know, opuestas challenges get lobbied and then they never follow up on it.
Yeah,
because that happened twice on this tour because, you know, Stuka Jr. made that to Shigeo Okumura, and then Caristico made that challenge to Barbaro Cavernario, and, you know, of course, neither happened.
Yep. Very unfortunate stuff all around that those didn't happen to go through, but... If anything, I guess the one other thing that you can hope futuristically with these Fantastic Mania tours, if it does continue on into 2021, because you just never know what can happen within a year's worth of wrestling. We've been learning that gradually over the last 3 years. Just seeing stuff like that, more specific rules of that sort, the apuestas matches, even just having one in this tour would have been fun to see, just to kind of showcase how serious they are too about, you know, bringing the CMLL style into a New Japan tour, and in general, just try to get the advertising up there more. These are really fun shows, but for a lot of people, it feels almost like, and I hate to kind of use a WWE reference of sorts here, but it feels like it's a backlash to their WrestleMania with Wrestle Kingdom and the timing and all.
Right. Well,
it should not be considered as such.
Right. And at the same time, you know, let's face it. I mean, you know, making these, you know, on the fly apuestas challenges is silly because those are like in Mexico, the apuestas challenges are like the big matches, not the title matches. Those are the big matches. And those are things that you need like an actual build for, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
You know, because, you know, inevitably somebody's getting a huge payday off of losing. You know, either losing their mask or getting their head shaved.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's how some of these lucha guys make their money. I mean, Dr. Wagner Jr., we now know like what a silver fox he is, but, you know, think about the fact of how many years he was under that mask and to only realize that when the man is in like his late 40s. It's just kind of insane, but.
Well, I mean,
like, build a reputation like that, get a payday for it.
Yeah, I mean, look, well, the two most valuable masks in Mexico now are Atlantis and LA Park.
Yep.
You know. But,
and speaking of, it's kind of a good transition to go into this because, unfortunately, during this tour, we did have two passings that did happen, very unfortunately. First one being the original. Or I'm sorry, not the original, the second La Parca that came.
Yeah, Caris La Momia, yeah.
Which, you know, considering the accident that he had in the ring a couple months ago, it was a situation where very unfortunate all around, and eventually it's just, you know, it had to happen the way it did. It's tragic that he passed the way that he did, and, you know, thoughts to him and his family. And with that as well, Rocky Johnson also passed away during this time too. And for a lot of people specifically, you know, he's better known for his run with NWA, WWF, and a couple, Georgia Championship Wrestling and a couple others. But he did have a single tour in New Japan in the 1980, where he actually worked a lot of future singles matches against like Antonio Inoki, Riki Choshu, Junji Harada, Strong Kobayashi, and a couple of others there. Just...
Right.
Should be really noted for sure.
Yeah, frequently teamed with Stan Hansen. Of course, you know, we also know, you know, what else he's most famous for is, you know, siring his son Dwayne. But let's not get that twisted. But I mean, he was a pretty, you know, he was a trailblazer, you know, barrier breaker, you know, being who he was. So yeah, that was it's just shocking. That was like his only tour of Japan ever. I mean, if you look at this extensive, you know, cage match profile, this is like his only tour of Japan at all. Was the New York Golden Series in 1980. So, yeah, I still have not had a chance to look up, see if any of these matches made tape. It would be interesting to see Rocky Johnson against Antonio Inoki, you know?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. But, no, there was a third death, Chris, you missed. Kazuro Sakurada, a.k.a. the second Kendo Nagasaki. Not the original one. That was actually a British man named Peter Thornley, who actually is still alive.
Mm-hmm.
But, Kazuo Sakurada passed away. He actually worked New Japan off and on between 85 and 89. His final match in New Japan Pro Wrestling was a victory at Wrestling World in Tokyo Dome, 1997. That was, of course, the 1997 January 4th show.
Mm-hmm.
And where he beat Tatsutoshi Goto.
Interesting. You're right on that. So
but
just,
also, let's not get it twisted, he was also a co-founder of Big Japan.
Mm-hmm. That plus, having met Genichiro Tenryu during their sumo days initially.
Yeah,
I believe,
and was quite a bit of a mentor for on excursions for one black ninja, aka Keiji Muto.
Yep, that, and then along with also during North America tours as well, like Stampede Wrestling, and being one of Bret Hart's more significant trainers as well too.
We had quite a run of of deaths there happening, so our thoughts to all their families.
Yeah,
on this run. All right, as you may have heard, we have two concurrent New Beginning tours running right now on two different continents, and the USA one actually started last night as we record this, because we're recording on Saturday the 25th. Bit of a bummer note, one of the top guys that was advertised for this tour couldn't make it. Kota Ibushi struck with type A influenza.
Yeah, that's such a bummer.
Yeah, well, again, given the current crisis we're having right now with this coronavirus, maybe not the worst idea to pull him from this tour. And also, Chris, you hit me to this. Didn't Big Japan was struck by this?
Yeah. Daisuke Sekimoto, I think, was one of two people within Big Japan that got struck by this same similar influenza thing, I believe, from what I read on. Yeah, some tweet came up in regards of it, and he had to take some time off from that tour as well, which, good for him. Hopefully he recovers soon from it. But yeah, it's kind of brutal. That's that time of the year, basically, for this kind of stuff to go around. Which...
Yeah, sadly, but... from what I understand, last night's opener in St. Petersburg went pretty well, actually. I don't know if we need to go down the full results, because there's four more shows of this. Basically,
Hello. Bad drop. Apologies. Not sure what happened in that regard.
Good thing we don't get paid. Good thing we don't get paid for this.
Yeah, probably for the best that we don't in situations like this.
Yeah.
Sorry, anyway.
The big feature match, of course, to cement the whole tour is an IWGP World Tag Team title defense between Finn Juice and the Gorillas of Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of a shame that Ibushi wasn't able to make this, because I think they were, trying to do somewhat of a build for, to Tanahashi and Ibushi challenging for those belts too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, we saw that at New Year's Dash, and now looks like we're gonna have to put that on hold.
Yeah, at least for a little bit, anyway.
Mm-hmm. At the very least, they do have the New Beginning shows within Sapporo and Osaka as well. They have a certain amount of tag matches happening there where those parties are involved accordingly, so they can use that towards building for something in March, I guess. So it's just basically kind of a damper on plans for another month and a half. But
yeah, did you
it
see,
could be worse.
Did you see the item from Chris Charlton that Kota Ibushi actually had his head examined and passed with flying colors?
Oh, I don't believe that.
Are you going to doubt the word of Chris Charlton, John?
Actually, you're right. I will not. I will never doubt that man.
It's just one of the circumstances where it's hilarious because you know something's going on there, but physically he's passing all of his tests. So it's just like it continues to add to the mystery that is Kota Ibushi as a whole.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, for some reason, I don't know why, but Chris, that whole phrase reminds me of the old SpongeBob joke. The SpongeBob names that seahorse Mystery. You're a mystery. Again, for the second time this on a podcast this week, yes, I had kids. I had to see cartoons, you know.
This is fine. Nobody here's judging.
No.
But... yeah, so pity that the all the shows are like in the South, because I would have liked to have gone to at least one of these shows. The one that's coming up on Sunday the 26th has an absolute what should be an absolute banger of a match with Satoshi Kojima against Jeff Cobb.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, for sure. And
if anybody could somehow get that match to make tape.
Mm-hmm. Yes, please.
I think it's one of those things, because I know the Showdown in Los Angeles show eventually did make tape at the Globe just before, about, I think, 2 weeks before Wrestle Kingdom happened. They did put that up. So I wouldn't be surprised if by middle of March we have the four shows up, because they've been good with the solo USA shows, with getting them up about a month afterwards and stuff. Is just not usually, I think, a priority for them to edit them and put them on New Japan World until basically it's like, oh, okay, we can do this now when it's free time, sort of thing. Right. No, I think they'll go up eventually, but yeah, it's going to take a little while. But another one that I'll say out of that Nashville show there that I do think could be very much low key good, Nagata versus Lance Archer, as well as happening as a singles in this.
That could be good. Yeah, that could be good. I don't disagree.
Unfortunately, I do not think that Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Yujiro Takahashi is going to be good. So,
the boat sailed on Yujiro like almost a decade ago.
5 years ago. Yeah. It's just hard to believe, like, from No Limit to, well, this. But then again, I guess he gets to have Peter with him on a semi-often basis, so... Consolation prize?
No, I'll no care.
Can we also talk about on the 30th, in which we have the Rock and Roll Express against Toriano and Colt Cabana?
Yes. Let's do it.
My God.
What a time we live in, gentlemen.
Yeah.
What a time.
Yeah, what a time we live in when one of my favorite New Japan matches last year was the Rock and Roll Express and Hiroshi Tanahashi against an Ingobernables trio at that New York show. And it was, I was like, you know what, this is one of the most fun wrestling matches I've seen in ages.
Absolutely.
Again, Rock and Roll Express, they're still able to go and work accordingly. And... you know, we in this podcast have all sorts of love for Robert Gibson for being one of the key trainers of our boy O'Shea Edwards as well, too. So,
that's true.
Unironically love that man.
Yeah, it's crazy to me. I remember when I saw them over WrestleMania weekend when they had a match against Santana and Ortiz, and I went, oh, I don't know, because I hadn't seen them for a little while. And I thought, I don't know how this is going to go. And then that ended up being one of my favorite matches of the weekend, and every time I've seen them since, I'm like, this is great. I just love this.
I got to that night two of Janela Spring Break show right in the middle of that match, and yeah, it was fun. And again, I know people from last year who were at the New Japan show at the Garden that went to Janela Spring Break Part 2, that, you know, people were like, oh, Okada Jay White ran too long. No. That ladder match ran too long.
Yeah, no, that was not the fault of Okada and Jay White. Hell no.
No, and I don't. Can we not mention that ladder match ever again?
Yeah.
Good.
I didn't see a single minute of it. So.
Well, you're better off for it.
I went and did laps around MSG while that was going on.
Ugh. What a waste of my time.
But but I guess we are going to lose a Kota Ibushi versus Chase Owens match, which I don't know if we really lose that per se.
Chase has been okay.
And yeah, he's been all right.
Him and Kota would have made something out of it. It wouldn't have been like the best match on the tour, but it wouldn't be like the most egregiously offensive thing that they could put up.
I've seen Chase Owens, you know, singles like at the CEO New Japan show in 2018, and he was kind of trying to work a little bit comedic heel against Jeff Cobb, you know, so for what that's worth. But yeah, also in Hotlanta on the 1st of February, Tanahashi and the Rock and Roll Express against TJP, Alex Zane and Clark Connors. That could be interesting.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun. Specifically, I want to see Zane specifically interact with Tanahashi during this match, just the spectacle of it in general should be something else. Though I'll say the opener that they have for Atlanta with Kojima Nagata against Carl Fredericks and Ren Narita could be really, really good as well.
Is this where I confess that it's been almost 2 years since we've had the LA Dojo open, and I still do not know which LA Dojo Young Lion is which, still to this day?
Carl Fredericks is the very tall guy with the tattoo.
Okay, so on the
tournament, I believe.
Well, yeah, he did win the Young Lions Cup, but that's only
because
Shota didn't need it. So,
I mean, it's, and really to an extent, even Ren didn't need it because we've led into this whole "let me go to LA Dojo" thing and do this next portion of my excursion, which, hey, it's been going good for him so far. So,
yep. Hey, I mean, he met me. I mean, you know.
Yeah, there you go. Because yeah, you what? Yeah, Jeff was at that BLP show where it was Ren versus, Isaiah. I can't remember how to say
Isaiah Velasquez. Isaiah Thank Velasquez, you. Yes.
Hmm.
And, I met friend of the show, Eric Stevens, too, so.
Oh. I will say, I was very excited to see Alex Zane's name pop up for this tour. I've seen him a couple of times live. He's something special, and I feel like this is going to be a really good tour for him.
Yeah, it seems like it started on a good note for him and Cobb last night, so hopefully it just continues on from there, because he's definitely been doing a lot of big things, like last year with, you know, the GCW bookings, getting that tag match in Bola with Blake against you know, the Janela Depp and just that mixture before. And then also having a little Japan tour at the tail end of the year last year as well. So good stuff. So
if you're in attendance at any of the New Beginning USA shows, hit us up, Strong Style at Strong Style Story on Without the Ian Style on Twitter. Let us know how those are going.
Yep.
So, the Road to the New Beginning tour kicked off today as well. None of the first cycle of shows are going to be on NJPW World. We will not have another live NJPW World show until the 2 days of the New Beginning in Sapporo.
Yeah.
On the first and second of February. Which, let's just get this out of the way. The main thing we're excited about is John freaking Moxley against Minoru Suzuki on these shows.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah, let's not undersell the fact, like, they did a good job of putting the Sapporo cards and the Osaka card together, but yeah, we've been high-key on this Moxley-Suzuki thing since night two of Wrestle Kingdom.
Oh,
and
my
just
God. I mean,
hit a snowball there.
I mean, like we said on Boom Goes the Dynamite this week, let's face it, the whole reason why Jon Moxley is wrestling with one eye in AEW right now is it's part of an intense training against Minoru Suzuki.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's also using that choke, which I thought was very, I don't know.
He's been using the sleeper as well, too, which is hilarious in its own right in terms of just low-key shots fired across the bow.
Oh, yeah. It's going down. It's going down. But hey, also, well, hey, let's run down the Sapporo cards real quick. The first one, of course, on February the 1st. Tiger Mask 4 and Yuya Uemura against Taiji Ishimura and El Phantasmo. Okay. Tiger Mask 4 now being the senior guy in the junior division.
Yeah.
But let's face it, I think we know who's taking the fall in this match. As is this next one, Togi Makabe, Tamaki Honma, and Toa Hanare against Hiroshi Tenzan, Manabu Nakanishi on his own wind-up tour, and Yota Tsuji. Again, I think we know who's taking the fall in this one.
Yeah.
Following that, Will Ospreay, Sho, Yo, and Ryusuke Taguchi against Zack Sabre Jr., El Desperado, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, and Doki. Again, I think I know who's taking the fall in this match.
It's that, and plus it's the build for the the Undisputed British Heavyweight title match between Ospreay and Sabre Jr. that's been set, and the Shoyo versus Despy Kanemaru contingent as well, which, yeah, that's a thing.
Really, who's pointedly not on Fantastica Mania, can't imagine why that would be. And Robbie Eagles up against Los Dos Peligrosos, Hiromu and Bushi.
Oh, man, I'm very excited for this match.
Yeah, I'm super interested to see how Robbie and Dragon / Ryuli end up gelling on their situation here. Because we know how good Bushi and Hiromu are together, but Robbie is more used at this point to, like, teaming with Ospreay more than anything in terms of the Chaos guys. So having a Chaos Huntai contingent there. A Huntai contingent in New Japan, but technically a... actually, no, let's not go there. The less Ring of Honor we talk about on the show, the better.
Yeah, no, I don't even consider him part of Ring of Honor, to be honest, as far as I'm concerned. He signed a contract with New Japan. He's a New Japan wrestler, as far as I'm concerned.
Yep, there we go. Mm-hmm.
Up next, Tetsuya Naito and Sonata against Kenta and Jay White, the build for the first defenses of the double gold titles.
Yeah.
Plus an eventual special singles match that's going to be happening on this tour too, which...
Oh yeah. I have not forgotten about that. Following that, Kazuchika Okada and John freaking Moxley against Taichi and Minoru Suzuki.
I mean, this card is fantastic, but I scrolled down and saw this and my eyes got very wide.
Yeah.
Okada and Moxley on a team, I don't even know where to start.
This is definitely an oil and water situation, but you look at it, you're like, holy crap.
You know? Oh, yeah.
It's just very interesting in the perspective that Moxley's already shown to have the obvious bit of history with Suzuki, but let's not forget him and Taichi beat the crap out of each other during the G1 as well without any sense of regard for one another. So expect Taichi to like kick Moxley a couple times in the face, Moxley to return the favor, so on and so forth. And then there's just Okada, who, again, him and Suzuki have had their series of matches over the years, and then this new history between him and Taichi now, with Taichi trying to make a name off of Okada's back. So I'm digging the concept of the special tag for sure, plus we get a pairing that we never imagined would happen at any point in pro wrestling.
Well, once again, I hate to keep bringing this up, but can we once again just note the fact that, you know, Jon Moxley willing to play ball with New Japan, guys who were in New Japan.
Yeah, right.
That's all I'm going to say about that. Following that, the semi-main of this first night, special singles match, Tomohiro Ishii and Evil, which I have been actually pretty much, I've actually been enjoying their little feud.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
It's just two bruisers beating the crap out of each other, which... Hooray for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just curious to see specifically the fallout of that, because it does feel to me that in some way, shape, or form, this could be kind of like your number one contenders of like an IC title match of some sort. And if that's the case, imagine Big Tom Ishii against Naito for one of the two belts there at some point.
Yeah, can't be mad about that.
Nope.
And then the main event of the first night, never open weight championship, Hirooki Goto defending against Shingo Takagi.
Oh, boy.
Holy crap.
Oh, boy. I mean, good for Goto for having, you know, the belt that he seems destined to pretty much always have around this time of year now. But, yeah, I just, you know, Shingo deserves more.
This is the time to crown Shingo with his first singles belt in the company. This is the perfect belt for him, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of people were arguing specifically that he was an open weight guy coming in from the get-go. It was just a matter of him filling in for Hiromu on the junior side until he came back. But yeah, Shingo should be the open weight guy at this point for the next couple of months, and the title is as good of a way to doing it. And it's awesome that this gets the main event one of the nights on top of it as well. Like, big fan. This is going to be a fantastic match.
Absolutely.
The second night of the New Beginning in Sapporo, Toa Henare against Yota Tsuji. Yeah, I think I know who's taking the fall here, as I will on Togi Makabe, Tomoki Hanma, and Yuya Uemura against Hiroshi Tenzan, Manabu Nakanishi, and Tiger Mask 4.
Yeah, and here's one of the things, too, just to go back to that opener match for a second. Like, I know right now Yota Tsuji is still very much on that learning phase of his young lion portion of the career, but don't be surprised if within the next 5 years we see this guy in, like, handsome Batman of some sort against the likes of like Kota Ibushi or something like that, because my god, just like now that he's growing his hair and everything else, like it feels like he could be one of those types that if the wrestling acumen is there, he could be destined for some big things down the line.
Yeah, he was reminding me when he first started out as like a new Jack version of Tatsuhiro Takaiwa, but I'm not sure that applies anymore.
Mm-hmm. Just.
Next up, Gabriel Kidd against El Fantasmo. If you were like me when I was typing up these lineups initially and had no idea who Gabriel Kidd was, join the club. He is an LA Dojo guy. Came in from Rev Pro, apparently.
Yeah, he's had history with Fantasmo as well, too, during his time in Rev Pro as well, so. Because the biggest thing about it is that through Defiant and RevPro, Shibata basically, during his British Undisputed Heavyweight run there, apparently that's where he caught Shibata's eye, and eventually he got scouted by him in the process. So,
yeah, well, good for him.
There is that to consider. Yeah, good stuff all around. Hopefully he will have a nice career as a Gaijin Young Lion. We have fairly recent success story with one of those, which we'll get into.
At least one.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, Hirooki Goto, Tomohiro Ishii, and Robbie Eagles against Shingo, Evil, and Bushi. Yeah, that'll just be fun more than anything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Next up, John freaking Moxley, Sho, Yo, and Ryusuke Taguchi against Minoru Suzuki, El Desperado, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, and Doki. Doki is totally eating a Death Rider, isn't he?
Yeah. Here's the interesting thing for me in particular, and sort of why I'm kind of mad that they didn't put Rocky in instead of Ryusuke Taguchi, is because John Moxley has talked about going to Roppongi before. You might as well have just given him the entirety of Roppongi 3K,
well,
to be honest.
There you go. You know what? You are absolutely correct on that.
It's like, yeah, you're going to Roppongi. It's not exactly the Roppongi you were thinking of, but it is a Roppongi.
Now, there still may be many sake afterwards.
Pretty much.
Actually, in real life, of course, Rocky is on the USA tour, so he wouldn't have been able to make it back in time. So
That makes sense. Yeah.
Next up after that, Tetsuya Naito, Sanada, and Hiromu against Kenta, Jay White, and Taiji Ishimori.
Hell yeah. I really like that. Mm-hmm.
Very interesting as well to have Taiji into the fold here, because that's another guy that somewhere down the line, him versus Hiromu could be really good for that junior heavyweight title. So,
yeah. Absolutely.
Well, I mean, remember that. Remember that Best of Super Juniors final.
Yeah.
With those two. So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
But the semi-main on night two of Sapporo, for the RevPro Undisputed British Heavyweight Championship, Zack Sabre Jr. defending against Will Ospreay. We have seen this match about 15 million times, I think. But
yes, but did a young lion hand Will Ospreay a sword when he got to the ring in any of those?
God. My God.
Possibly not.
Yikes. What a disaster. Just walk to the ring with.
Yeah. So it's one of those. I mean, at the very least, it's a situation where hopefully with this, Zach continues his run as British Undisputed Heavyweight Champ. Just because I feel like out of the New Japan guys currently holding in terms of the company, I don't, with Ospreay having moved to Japan full time now, I don't think he wants to be doing the traveling between Britain and Japan all over the place to defend that title. Run New Japan tours, so on and so forth. So I do think Zach retains here on this one.
Yeah,
it'll be a decent match, but
so wait. You said Will has moved full time to Japan now.
Yes.
So is this Britain's gain or Japan's loss here?
I mean,
a little bit of both, maybe.
Yeah, some of column A, a little bit of column B. Let's call it that.
There you go.
I mean, yeah, sure, they have Brexit happening really soon, but hey, we got rid of Will Ospreay at least. Oh, Lordy.
And then, of course, for our main event, it is a special singles match. I know some people might have been thrown off by this, but it is Kazuchika Okada against Taiichi in Taiichi's hometown. He is from that Sapporo area over there.
Yes, he is.
So it makes sense for him to kind of get a big showcase match here.
He'll still probably get told to fuck off, so.
Yeah, there will be that part of the crowd that tells him to fuck off, and the other part that tells him, let's go, which that should be interesting in its own right there.
Yeah.
It's an interesting time in Okada's career at this point, because obviously he's without the heavyweight title again for the first time in a while. How 2020 will go for him, we have yet to know. But it is really interesting to have him in this position against a guy that is sort of on the cusp of being like a spot main eventer every once in a while, to see whether they'll let Taiichi kind of pick up the upset in his hometown and call the circumstances that way and then play back to that in the later match and have Okada get the rub back, or if it's, you know, Okada wins by the skin of his teeth, but it proves that Taiichi is like that much closer to breaking through the glass ceiling kind of thing. Plus, there's also the history of the Four Black Saints, which Taiichi was a part of, and Okada being their young lion there for the longest time a couple of years back. So,
well, there is that.
You have certain aspects, and it should be an interesting main event as a whole there. And, of course, when talking about Kazuchika Okada as a whole, you know, your 5-time IWGP Heavyweight Champion, 4-time Tokyo Sports MVP Award winner. But we found out some interesting things about Little Kazu this week as well. Like, apparently he plays rhythm guitar for Alex Shelley's band's most recent EP that came out this week, which news in and of itself.
Well, time out. As I recall, I don't know if it was it was recently released, but I think it was like the tapes got lost or something, because these are years old recordings, I think.
No, they had an EP from a couple of years ago, but apparently Shelley, Sabin, Petey Williams, and then the others, they got together. They did a couple of songs, I think, sometime last year, and they got Okada to come in and do rhythm guitar for them in a couple, too. Amazing. So, yeah, this is like an entire new thing that they released.
See, I would have thought that this would have been like during Okada's excursion, you know, back when Shelley and all them were still in TNA.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting, yeah.
So, well, but that's interesting.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, I mean, again, with Kazuchika Okada, we just keep finding out more and more interesting things about him. Now, Jeff, I discussed this with you a couple of times off the air in terms of the G1 special in Long Beach, dating back to, you know, how much fun that weekend was. There's an entire episode that we talk about this dating back. It's within the archives of Strong Style Story here. But John himself actually has a particular story about Kazuchika Okada that weekend, which we might as well just get it out into the open.
Yeah, sure. We'll just do it now since we're on Okada talk right now. And that way we can get into where we need to go.
It's like a show. Yep.
So, yeah.
All right. So here we go. This is, I remember it as if it were yesterday. I was at Rock Bottom with Courtney, Chicago C. Rose on Twitter. I'm sure
Hi, Courtney.
Most of us are familiar with her, and a couple of other people who I am forgetting right now. I think Greg and Ellen. Anyways, so I'm watching the front door. It's pretty crowded in there. It's after night two. I'm thinking about the long drive home I have to do. And I see a crowd of people walk up to the front door. And this guy goes to open the door like it's a push door, but it's a pull door. And he, like, pretends to, like, run into it and, like, fall back and be like, oh, I didn't know it was that type of door. I was like, who is this goof that is doing this bit for all these people who are loving, just laughing hysterically? And who is it but Kazuchika Okada in, I believe it was a powdered blue suit. I could be wrong. just walking in the door, and I'm like, holy shit, it's Okada. He just did a bit for all these people, and they loved it. And they go over to a side. I can still see them. Like, they go over to, like, a side area, and Okada's just holding court with all of these people. I think Josh Barnett was there. I know Shayna Baszler was there as well.
Wasn't Jim Ross there too?
Yeah, I believe so, because they were part of the NJPW on Access commentary at the time. It was him and Barnett. So, yeah, that would make sense.
I'm pretty sure he gave, like, the softest rainmaker ever to Shayna Baszler. It was crazy. He was putting people in headlocks. People were taking pictures. It was just insane. But in that moment when he did the bit with the door, I it was such a turn where I went, who is this goofy guy that is doing this? Oh my God, it's Kazuchika Okada.
We love Kazuchika Okada, but he is a complete dork. It's part of his appeal. But also, I remember there was a picture from that weekend that was of Okada, Jim Ross, and one Mr. Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yes, that was, I think they were backstage at the Long Beach Convention Center. It was like in the loading dock or something, right? Something crazy like
something
that.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, we did not go to, I think, Chris, we all went to an In-N-Out Burger for that.
For night two, yes. Night one specifically, we went back to our corporate apartment, which totally wasn't an Airbnb, must be emphasized yet again. we went back there, and then eventually we went out into I think it was an Irish bar or something like that.
Yeah, because
I know that was where we met Ruby and Sammy for the first time.
And not before I did tech support for y'all to get y'all's internet to get the internet back working.
It's just imagine the place that you're at for your vacation. The internet goes out at like 9:30 at night, and we're having.
No, it was down all day because we couldn't record. Remember?
Right. No, you're right. Yep. Because we had to do the podcast the next morning.
Yeah, it was down all day. We just said screw it, and then we didn't deal with it until we got back from the show.
Oh, Lord.
Anyway, so back to the shows. In between the two main New Beginning shows, there are three more Road 2 shows from Corican Hall. Those will be on NGPW World. Moxley not on any of these three shows, so is he actually going to fly back to the U.S. to do an AEW show and then fly back to Japan again?
I mean, it looks that way, because I feel like that week would be the go home show for the AEW pay-per-view, right?
No. The pay-per-view is not until the 29th of February.
Oh, jeez.
Because I'm going to be there, so yeah.
I mean, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of.
He seems crazy enough to do it.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested to see how this one goes specifically in terms of.
Yeah, but let's run down New Beginning in Osaka real quick. Live from not the Edion Arena this time, but they're actually running Osaka Joe Hall for this.
Yeah, first of two times this year.
Yeah, so the opening match from Osaka Joe Hall will be Manabu Nakanishi's final in Osaka Joe Hall. Now, I don't know if that means that is his final. I don't know if that means that is his final match in Osaka Joe Hall or that's his final match. But regardless, Nakanishi, Hiroshi Tenzan, Satoshi Kojimin, Yuji Nagata up against Koki Makabe, Tomoki Honma, Toa Hinari, Ryusuke Taguchi. We've seen this match 50 million times, but never with this much weight on it. You know?
Yeah, no, not at all. And it will just be his last match at Osaka Joe Hall. His retirement show is on the 22nd of February.
Well, so. Right, but that doesn't mean that he's going to be wrestling on his retirement show.
Fair enough, yeah.
And speaking of retirement matches, John, I'm just going to point out that the softest Rainmaker I've ever seen Okada give was to Tenryu. Tenryu's retirement.
And this was after Tenryu, you know,
dropped him on his head
twice and then dropped him on his head.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Yeah, I remember. Wow. Yeah.
If anything, this shows how much of a professional Okada is, because like in a situation like that, I think 9 out of 10 people would have just, you know, stiffed the fuck out of him afterward. My God.
Anyway, moving on. Next up, the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championship, in which Roppongi 3K go up against El Desperado and Yoshinobu Kanemaru. We've seen this match before, too.
Yeah. Jeez. Ugh. I don't even know, like, who I would want to. I don't even know if I care who would win this match, to be honest.
Yeah, and Sho and Yo won the belts, and the cycle began anew, you know?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Up next, Juice Robinson, David Finley, Hiroshi Tanahashi, and Kota Ibushi up against Tama Tonga, Tangaloa, Yujiro Takahashi, and Chase Owens. Okay. I think we were supposed to have that match last night and did not.
Yeah. I think this is probably where either Tana or Ibushi may pin one of the GOD guys and probably make their case for a title shot at that point against Finn Juice, which...
Yeah. I mean, I think we can say pretty much say that Finn Juice is retaining against the GOD, right?
Yeah, I think we're pretty confident on that, yeah.
You know, that just reminds me, Lawrence told me that, so I guess GOD are up in NEW tonight. So GOD are going from Florida up to Newbury, Connecticut, and then down to Nashville tonight.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
That's crazy.
That is some crazy traveling. Up next, Kazuchika Okada and Will Ospreay against Taichi and Zack Sabre Jr. So that'll just be a match, I guess.
dangerous Techers, at least. I'm happy with that, because that's been a fantastic team that came up through the course of World Tag League there, the long-forgotten World Tag League time of the year. So.
Yep, let's go eat some vegetables. special singles match following that, Sonata and Jay White. So that could be interesting.
Yeah.
Could have some implications. Speaking of implications, the match following that, IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship, Hiromu Takahashi against Ryu Lee. Oh my God.
Hey, is everybody ready to hold their breaths for the Phoenix Blacks T-spot that they're definitely going to be doing in this match?
God, I will be... Yeah, this may be a I-can't-watch moment, because after what happened the last time...
Yeah. Oh. Ugh.
It's like, and we remember that San Francisco match clearly. It was going great, and then that happens, and you're just like, oh, God, did he just get... He literally just got dropped on his neck. How is he standing up?
And skidded on his neck. Let's not forget that part.
Yeah.
And then kept going.
And then kept going. Yeah. And then we got the moment that the Josh Barnett era in New Japan ended.
Yeah.
But anyway. The semi-main. My God.
Yes.
Moxley, Suzuki. Who cares? Who cares what title this is for? It's yeah. Moxley and Suzuki.
Yes.
It's a situation where, regardless of who wins, we're all winning something here. It's just, I don't think there's... The build is simplistic. It's fun.
You know who wins? Professional wrestling wins.
Yeah, pretty much. And again, it's a situation where you can still do stuff with either one of them being champion at this point. I mean, we all love John Moxley, but we also would be okay with Minoru Suzuki officially assuming his domain as King of these United States by winning this title.
I mean, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready for the
absolutely.
I'm ready for King Minoru the First.
Yep.
My God. You know, it's just two absolute badasses of different types of badasses, and they're just going to go at each other, and we are going to love every minute of this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's like, and it's the situation where it's like, John Moxley, Minoru Suzuki, please come to Bloodsport. No problem. We got you.
Oh, goodness gracious me. Yeah, I am, man. You know, this is what wrestling's all about right here. This feud right here. This particular feud right here.
And don't get it twisted. This has been like a hyped match for us too, but the main event itself, it's no slouch either considering everything that happened going from night two of Wrestle Kingdom onward. As it is your first double gold main event defense, where Tetsuya Naito is defending the IWGP Heavyweight Championship and the Intercontinental Championship against arguably one of the most hated men in pro wrestling right now, Kenta.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. This is, I thought the build to this match so far has been perfect. We all know. I think we all love Tetsuya Naito with I love him with all of my being. I don't know if we all feel the same way.
I'm wearing a Naito shirt right now, so there's that answer.
Actually, I am too. Goodness, I didn't even realize.
Yes. It's like this Strong Style Story is very much a we love Los Ingles Bernables de Japón, and anyone who doesn't is just wrong podcast.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And I remember after, you know, Naito was doing roll call and Kenta came out and people were like, oh, how mad are you that he did that? I was like, that was perfect. This is amazing. This is great stuff. And to think that a year ago, Kenta was on 205 Live.
Yeah.
To think that a year ago, John Moxley was floundering on Raw, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy, and I'm here for this match for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, something I forgot to point out. I mean, it would have been absolutely insane to think of Moxley and Suzuki a year ago. You know?
Oh yeah, more Moxley and anyone in New Japan for that matter.
Yeah, and then we know what happened since. So
yeah.
It's nuts, but it is a situation at this point where Kenta putting himself at this point as basically he's kind of like the 1B portion of Bullet Club now with Jay White being the 1A rather than just being like a device of like Jay White and then everyone else is sort of below him, which I feel Bullet Club needed, like kind of needed like that big lieutenant type that can challenge for titles like this since Bad Luck Fale has taken massive steps back and, you know, the Tongans are mostly a tag team at this point kind of thing too. So they needed to have that kind of second in command sort of figure that can be just as big of a threat as the head honcho, which by building Kenta the way that they did the past few months, they have done a perfect job with setting him up for that role over the course of this next year and going forward as well. Again, the biggest interest here, I think, is definitely to see if Naito does survive this particular defense, and from there, if it's going to be just both titles being defended at the same time, or if we're going to get to the point where Naito kind of does like Jay Lethal did when he held the world and TV titles in his respective company, where he's defending each title in separate matches, sometimes twice, two matches on that kind of thing, which I do think they should go that route, just because I think it would be really interesting in terms of what opponents they pair him up with, how the schedule looks like, and just it's an added bonus to this whole double gold thing.
No, I agree. I thought that they were going to do that initially. So, I mean, well, maybe they will. I mean, it's just right now it's not, because he did specifically hold both belts up, so therefore he's challenging for both, you know?
Yeah.
I think, yeah. So, yeah, there is the New Beginning cycle. Real quick, we are getting announcements for New Japan involvement during Mania weekend, including a Lions Break Project 3 show happening during WrestleCon on the 2nd of April at the Ritz Ibor in Tampa. And I'm probably mispronouncing that, but you know what? I don't care. Right now, all we have announced there are Hiroshi Tanahashi, Ren Narita, Clark Connors, Alex Coughlin, Carl Fredericks, Zack Sabre Jr., and El Desperado. The ticketing for this show is appalling, quite frankly. $50 for standing room only can kiss my ass.
Oh my goodness. That is what?
It's WrestleCon, basically, just being WrestleCon, which, again, like, I get the fact that you want to put people in your building and get your money's worth out of, you know, all the shows that you're running in that particular area, but at the same time, like, John and I specifically, we've paid PWG prices. We know what comes with that, which includes, you know, before show, mid show, and after show, like, the wrestlers being there selling merch, kind of getting a meet and greet chance with the guys on top of everything else with the wrestling portion. And just if you're not offering something like that for this sort of price, it's just, you know, like if you're going to that price or higher, but you're not offering the beneficial portions beyond just, hey, here's a wrestling show for you to watch. Yeah, people are going to be a little bit iffy on the price tag.
Yeah, I saw a lot of the price tags for the other shows. And it's like, you know what? I remember going to the Rev Pro show at WrestleCon, you know, during last Mania weekend in New York, and I do not recall paying that much for tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And matter of fact, I'm struggling to think that how much I paid for. Actually, wait, I didn't pay for MSG because I bought the DDT tickets. Ha ha. That's why I didn't pay for it, because I paid for the front row tickets for DDT. So. But I got some questions about this. But also, New Japan talents have been announced for Ring of Honor Super Card of Honor 14. So far, it's just been Kenta, Jay White, Will Ospreay, and El Fantasmo. Maybe Taiji Ishimori too. I thought I saw that, but I couldn't find anything official. But let's talk of the upshot of that, which is there still seems to be some sort of relationship between New Japan and Ring of Honor right now.
Yeah. And it seems that a lot of it is Marty Scurll of former New Japan fame to an extent there. Basically, apparently he's now taken over the book officially on the spectrum of things. And it makes sense that a lot of the guys that he's interacted with within Bullet Club are getting the nod on this, and then Ospreay as well. So it is intriguing if Marty himself is like, hey, this whole thing with New Japan, you know, they may not be as interested to work with us anymore, but we'd still like to work with them on occasion if the situation permits, which WrestleMania weekend is as good of a place to do it as any. So good on them to actually get some of these talents signed and kind of generate interest for the Ring of Honor portion of the show, and which again, it's kind of in Lakeland, which I believe they ran that same venue WrestleMania weekend in Orlando as well, and that's a bit of a drive away from Tampa on top 40, of it.
45 minutes away from Tampa.
Yeah, so like to kind of ask your audience to drive that far out to see one of your shows, your card better be good and the talent that you're bringing it better be worthwhile. So, by Ring of Honor to try and do that. So,
I mean, how many people are still going to be feeling burned after, well, you know, G1 Supercard last year at last mini weekend and everything that's happened since then?
Yeah, that's the biggest question at this point. And I think this Mania Weekend show that they do is going to be an even bigger teller of that than the dwindling attendance numbers we've seen throughout 2019 for them.
Yeah, John, do you have any thoughts on this?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like you said, last year's Mania, their joint card was just... I guess it was horrible, like top to bottom. Every decision that was made on the Ring of Honor side was a head scratcher. And then we had also the rumors that they didn't tell New Japan officials about some stuff that was going to be happening during that show. So I'm honestly, as soon as they started announcing New Japan names, I was very surprised to see that we were apparently doing this again. But like you said, Marty, you know, he reportedly has the book and he's trying to bridge the gap between not only New Japan, but also apparently AEW as well.
And the NWA, for that matter.
And the NWA, yeah. So he's trying to, I don't know, I didn't think he would be the one to do this, but apparently he's doing some good work so far. So we'll see. I don't know. I'm not really... I hope Ring of Honor learned their lesson from last year. We'll see.
What's the problem is that most of the year, they seemed like they didn't.
Yeah. So we'll see. Yeah. I mean, the whole Marty thing is still brand new. So, I mean,
do you think that maybe that was like part of his deal to, you know, he's the one who leveraged this and said, you know what, if you want me to stick around, you're gonna give me the book because, delirious guy is a fucking clown and doesn't know what he's doing.
Absolutely.
I think that's exactly the gist of it right there. You want to pay me? Cool. I need the book on top of it. Because if you don't give me that, I've got options.
Yes. You know, as trite and boring as Maurice Skrull has become, yeah, he had options.
Oh, yeah. He had many options. And that's, you know, that's the state of pro wrestling right now. If you want to keep your top talent, you have to get creative now. You can't just say, all right, well, I mean, have fun on the indies. That's not what it is anymore.
Yeah, no.
There's a bunch of companies that people can go to, and they certainly gave him everything he wanted, and it sounds like even more. I mean, reduced dates at quote-unquote WWE main roster money, whatever that means now, because... technically, all three of them are the main roster anyway.
Yeah.
It's and the book and reduced dates.
Yeah.
It's all.
Well, I mean, have fun on the indies. Some guys would be like, yeah, okay, cool.
Absolutely.
Good looking out, you know?
Yeah, but at this point, it's just like AEW pretty much changed the game, and ROH has to, you know, if they want to keep Marty, they had to give him something worthwhile, and they certainly did.
But I mean, that's not all that's going on. I mean, we just saw the announcement of Shingo going up against Chris Dickinson, I think, for Pro Wrestling Revolver.
Oh, my goodness. I just saw Dickinson star last night, and that was amazing. Dickinson, Shingo, I can't even imagine how great that match is going to be. Oh, my goodness.
Well, as we get closer to Mania Weekend, I'll throw it up on the blog. We'll try to have like a complete guide to New Japan at Mania Weekend.
Awesome.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's not the only encounter that Chris Dickinson is going to be having that weekend with New Japan talent. Obviously, Josh Barnett's Bloodsport 3 having Chris Dickinson versus Minoru Suzuki get announced earlier this week, which...
Come on.
Between that and John Moxley and Josh Barnett finally happening as well, Yeah.
Oh, just, yeah? Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's going to be...
I wonder how Moxley swung that, all things considered.
No, I mean, it was supposed to happen initially last year, but the staph infection that he had on his elbow was the only reason why they had to cancel that and change it to Barnett and... Right.
No, I get that, but I mean, wouldn't his AEW contract preclude that? Because that's why Moxley can't appear on any U.S. New Japan shows, is because of his AEW contract.
I think it's because specifically New Japan in the U.S. is going to be, I guess, they are considered more of a competitor than a GCW gimmick show on Mania weekend. And more than likely, it was just Moxley probably going, hey, I'm going to work this show, whether you like it or not, kind of thing. And, yeah. Well, Jon Moxley is Jon Moxley, so.
Yep. I just hope he comes. I really just hope he comes out to his real music at that show, then.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, but, you know, Aneurysm by Nirvana, so, yeah.
That'd be fun.
So. Anyway, that's all I have for this show. Chris, do you have anything you want to bring up, are we good for the new beginning cycle?
I think we're covered for the new beginning cycle. Again, many announcements are only starting to get announced, so Lord knows what other sort of hijinks we could get into between other New Japan talents, or there's even Stardom talents to consider, given that they had an entire show in NYC last year. For all we know, they decide, yeah, we're going to Tampa this year too, so yeah.
Yeah,
Bushiroad, buddy.
Yeah, I guess we'll figure that out. So, all right. Well, usually this is the time of the show where you do the plugs. So, John, go ahead and plug yourself.
All right. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JP Thrice. What else? Tornado Tag Radio is my weekly wrestling podcast. And what else do I do? Facebook.com/THS Wrestling News. I do a Sunday stream every Sunday, as I just said, Sunday. We're going to be going live right after Royal Rumble tomorrow. And that #show.com for all of my wrestling related writings.
All right, Chris.
For me in particular, just go through Twitter and Instagram at Brazilian Fury. That's Brazilian with an S instead of a Z, as per usual there. Just normally your grabs and normal talks. And I think I've set a date with Jordan officially for early February to record soundtracks on the sticks regarding Final Fantasy VIII. So be on the lookout for that new particular cast of mine over the course of February. It's going to happen.
And of course, you can find me at Strong Style Story without the E in style on Twitter. My personal Twitter is at GD Wessel, 2 S's 1 L. The blog is still at strongstylestory.tumblr.com. You can also listen to my other show, Busting Balls, soundcloud.com/busting-balls, where we discuss the beautiful game. We just did a show earlier this week where we went over the top stories in the sport of the 2010s. So, yeah, tune in for that. Yeah, and of course, Chris and I also do our weekly AEW Dynamite review show called Boom Goes the Dynamite, here on the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network, where you can listen to other great podcasts, including Days of Thunder with our good friends Dave Ryan and Stagger Lee Malone, Military Industrial Suplex with Tom Batista, Greetings from Allentown with Peter Winson, the much missed Worldcast. So Kelly, get your shit together. Come on back, man.
Yeah, and not to mention the fact, going back into the Days of Thunder reference too, we did recently record a part of their off-brand series where they diverged from the WCW Thunder watching, and we did Pick Your Poison regarding Le Champion of AEW and New Japan Pro Wrestling star to a certain extent, Chris Jericho, and his career. You can go listen to Lee, Dave, myself, and Jeff talk about it for almost two hours full. Yeah,
yeah, that was about two full hours.
Yeah, wow, nice.
Yeah, and unfortunately, yeah, well, I won't go through the whole technical difficulties I had again, where it just made me sound like I was shouting the whole time, but anyway, John, thanks for coming by, man.
Guys, thanks for having me. It's always fun to talk about the great sport of professional wrestling anytime, anywhere. That is not just me screaming outside my window.
Pretty much.
All right, Chris. Chris, you got any last words?
Not at all. Thanks for sticking with us again on this one, when we'll talk post New Beginning.
Yep, and we'll have several retirements to talk about next episode, but that'll be in the weeks following the New Beginning in Osaka. So if you're going to the USA shows, hope you enjoy them. In the meantime, enjoy the New Beginning cycle, and we'll see you in a couple weeks. So until then, take care. Goodbye.